Hello friends, now we move on to chapter 4 of the book Retail Buying and Merchandising. We are today going to talk of types of retail formats. First, let us understand the learning objectives of this chapter. We need to understand the definition of a retail format, what is a retail format, and how do we describe it. We will classify various retail formats and see their characteristic features. The methods that are used to buy merchandise for different formats will be discussed. We will also talk of the concept of multi-channel retailing and its various challenges. We will understand the retail evolution and emergence of new formats. Last, we will talk about various concepts like retail life cycle, retail accordion, and the wheel of retailing. What is a retail format? A retail format is a basic structure of a retail business conceived, designed, and developed to cater to needs of the end consumer. We all know that every consumer is unique and they have different needs. So, what are their needs? How do we satisfy these different needs of different consumers? And what are the different retail formats that we will use to satisfy varying needs of today's consumer? New retail formats keep emerging with time. New retail formats keep evolving, and we need to understand what are these retail formats that are emerging and what are the reasons that are causing them to emerge. Firstly, what is the purpose of having a retail format? Different types of retail formats allow the different retailers to compete by offering different benefits to the consumer. The same product can be bought from different retailers, but since the retail format of each retailer is different, the benefits associated with the product would be different. For example, you can buy, let's say, a coconut hair oil from a departmental store. You could also buy the same thing from a neighborhood kirana store. So what is the difference? The departmental store will probably offer much more variety in terms of packaging, package sizes, different brands of the same product. The neighborhood kirana store will probably not offer you that variety, but it will offer you convenience and maybe even a credit policy. So each retail format has some advantages and disadvantages. We will understand these different retail formats and their advantages as well as disadvantages. The retailer is going to succeed and prosper only when they are able to serve the customer more effectively than their competitors. This is the purpose of studying a retail format. What is the retail mix? The most basic characteristic of the retail format is defined as a combination of elements the retailer uses to satisfy the varying consumer needs. There are four main elements of a retail mix, which are type of merchandise offered. So, what is the type of merchandise that the retailer offers? That is a very important component of its retail mix. The variety, the width, breadth, and assortment of merchandise that is offered by the retailer is another extremely important component of its retail mix. We will go on in the next few slides to understand what these terms variety, width, breadth, and assortment of merchandise mean. The level of consumer service. What is the level of service that the retailer is providing to the customer? Is it a full service retail format? For example, a jewelry store or a car showroom? Or is it a limited service? Or is it a self-service format like maybe a McDonald's or a Big Bazaar? The price strategy that is followed by the retailer is another crucial component of the retail mix. Now let us understand some retail concepts and terms. What do they mean and how do they describe the retail format? Firstly, what is variety or breadth of merchandise? Variety is the number of merchandise categories a retailer is offering to its consumers. So variety or breadth means different product categories that a retailer is selling. Let us think of a departmental store, let's say Big Bazaar. It offers groceries, vegetables, apparel, plastics, home furniture, medicines, footwear. These are all different varieties of merchandise or product categories that the retailer is offering and are referred to as the breadth of merchandise. Next is the depth of merchandise, which refers to the number of different items in a merchandise category. So now let's take the example of grocery. How many different types? What brands? How many brands? How many different package sizes? Or if we talk of apparel, let's say I want to go to a store and buy a lady's shirt. How many different sizes are available? How many different colors? How many styles? All of these within a product category are referred to as the depth of merchandise. Needless to say, width and depth of merchandise is extremely crucial to the success of the retailer. We can have four combinations of the breadth and depth of merchandise. A retailer could offer a wide width or breadth of merchandise and a huge depth. For example, a departmental store may be a hypercity. We could have a retailer who has less breadth or less variety as well as less depth of merchandise. We can have two more combinations that completes the matrix, which is less variety but huge depth, or less depth but huge variety. So each retailer can be classified in at least one of these formats. Then we talk about the stock keeping unit, the SKU. The SKU in retail is extremely important for the purpose of planning and selling. SKU is the each different item of the merchandise. So an SKU is the number of styles, the number of colors, and the number of sizes. It is a multiple of these three. Especially for apparel or footwear, where you have different sizes and many colors, an SKU becomes extremely important. A retail merchant needs to plan at the SKU level in order to ensure retail success. Okay, variety versus depth. We have just discussed the concept of variety of merchandise as well as depth of merchandise. It is not easy to have both. So the retailer needs to have a trade-off between the two. They have to balance between the variety that they want to offer to the customer and the depth that they want to offer to the customer. So what are the implications? A retailer who offers both width as well as depth is preferred, because for the customer it means going to one store and being able to shop all the things that they want to. But there is a flip side to it. Product price would be huge if the retailer is offering both variety as well as depth of merchandise. It also means he is going to have a huge inventory and a huge inventory holding cost. Thus, the retailer has to think and plan carefully as to what level of variety and depth does he want to offer to the consumer. Services are an extremely costly and expensive component. The retailer has to decide the level of service he wants to offer to the consumer. The number of salespeople in the store has to also be planned, because they are going to also add to the cost. The salespeople will have a cost associated. You have to pay them salaries. You may even be paying them some bonus or target related extra perks. So all that needs to be planned by the retailer before he can finalize the variety and depth he wants to offer. To sum up, there is a trade-off between variety of merchandise and the additional costs of inventory holding and services. The retailer has to carefully plan the retail mix, balancing these extra costs and the extra benefits of offering variety to the customer. If the consumer goes to a store and he does not get enough variety, what do you think will happen? The consumer goes back without making a sale. That is loss of sale to the retailer. So he has to carefully balance variety, width, depth of merchandise, the assortment he is offering, vis-a-vis the extra costs he has to incur in offering variety to the consumer. Now, let us understand the evolution of retail formats. How did retail formats evolve? When I was a young child, I had not heard of the term retail. We didn't have malls that exist today. So what was retail then? It was the neighborhood independent store, the kirana stores, which we today call the mom and pop stores. That is what retail meant at that stage. Today, you have a huge variety of retail formats, which include departmental stores, specialty stores, various kind of showrooms, various services. But where did it all start? Let us go back into history. Retailing in India started in the form of weekly haats, the various mandis, and village melas. These served a dual purpose of catering to the daily necessities of those people as well as a source of entertainment. These were places where people met with each other and interacted with each other. With the emergence of towns and cities, the neighborhood kirana stores became very popular as they were extremely convenient. The first phase of modern retail in India started in the late 1990s with the advent of the department store. This departmental store concept really caught on because of the huge convenience it offered to the consumer of shopping within one store, shopping under one roof. The second phase of growth of retail formats was after 2005, when hypermarkets, supermarkets, and various types of convenience stores started. Between 2008 and 2010, huge growth took place when modern retailing became popular. So these malls that we see today are actually a part of the modern retail growth. These were launched along with the cash and carry format and specialty stores in around 2010. 2010 also saw entry of many international players in our country who remodeled the existing formats and changed the Indian shopping basket and the way the Indian retailers shopped. The last decade has seen a phenomenal change in the retail scape of India. New retail formats have emerged because the consumer itself is changing and evolving. Online retail and buying, especially via the mobile phone, various apps, has now caught the fancy of the Indian consumer. Online retail has grown at a huge pace and is now threatening the brick and mortar or the traditional stores retailing. Okay, now let us go on to classifying retail formats. A very easy method of classifying retail formats is based on classifying them on these four characteristics. First characteristic is the product assortment that the retailer offers to the consumer. The second is the price range. What is the pricing strategy? Is it a low price strategy? Is it a mid price segment? Is it high priced? What is the price range? So that is another characteristic that is used to classify retail formats. The organization of the retail format or its ownership, that is another method that is used to classify retail formats. Lastly, the amount of service that the retailer offers to the customer is also used to classify retail formats. Now, we are going to classify retail formats and see what are the various retail formats that exist against each of these four characteristics. So this is what we are saying, classifying retail formats based on product assortment, based on the price range, based on ownership and the amount of service. We will start by classifying retail formats based on product assortment. It means we find out what is the merchandise range, what is the width and depth that the retailer is offering, and classify the products based on that. Let us see what are the various categories. Okay, we could have a convenience store, we could have a departmental store, a hypermarket, we can have supermarkets, specialty stores, and category specialists. All these retail formats are classified based on the product range. So when we are describing these retail formats, we are essentially referring to the variety that they offer to the customer. Let us understand each of them in detail. What is a specialty store? A specialty store deals in a single category of merchandise. For example, Adidas or Nike, they deal in only sports goods. So that is a specialty store. Okay. A specialty store deals in complementary merchandise categories and related product categories. For example, Adidas or Nike sell sports goods and sports apparel. So these product categories are complementing each other, which means if a customer goes to Nike, he is going to buy maybe a racket for playing squash or badminton and shoes for the same thing and maybe a t-shirt for that. So in one shop, he is able to buy all the sportswear related products that he needs. A specialty store offers a narrow product line but with great depth in that product line. So if you can see what I told you a few minutes back, that each retail format will be described in terms of the width and depth of the merchandise assortment it is offering. A specialty store will offer a narrow product line but with deep assortments, which means huge amount of variety within that product line. So if an Adidas or a Nike is selling sports related products, then that is only a narrow product category. It is only one product category, and within that they will offer huge variety, a number of brands, a number of colors, sizes, and a number of SKUs. It is more efficient to manufacture in bulk for a specialty store, because a customer will come to a specialty store only when he wants to buy that product category. The departmental store. Haven't we all heard about it often and been to one? So a Big Bazaar or a Lifestyle, Globus, Westside, they are all examples of departmental stores. A department store is specializing in selling a wide range of products, which means the variety is huge. The width of products is huge, but it does not have a single predominant product line. So unlike the specialty store, which had one single predominant product category, a departmental store does not have one single predominant product category. It sells a number of product categories. Big Bazaar, Reliance, Westside, they sell so many different products. Okay. It carries a broad and deep assortment along with some amount of customer service. A department store caters to multiple needs of several groups of customers under one roof. So it is a one-stop shop and therefore very convenient. They earn profit because they sell huge sales volumes. They concentrate on the mass market. Obviously, huge sales volumes will happen only when you are catering to the mass market. A departmental store may further be classified into three tiers. One is an upscale high fashion chain that houses exclusive designer products and offers a high level of customer service. So there is no one type of departmental store. They can further be divided into many types. The upscale high fashion chain is one that charges a premium price. Okay, because it is giving a designer product, something which is different and unique, and offers the product with a high level of customer service. A traditional store that sells moderately priced products with lesser customer service is another type of departmental store. This tier consists of stores that offer value for money by catering to price-sensitive customers. Now, let's talk about a supermarket. A supermarket is a large, low-cost, low-margin, but high-volume, self-service retail format designed to meet the need of food, groceries, and other non-food like merchandise, which could be health, medicines, and beauty products. They usually have a lot of perishable food items also, like bakery stuff, meats, dairy products. These form a majority of the merchandise that the supermarket offers. A supermarket usually has a large number of frequent customers. It sells low-cost products at a low margin, therefore catering to a price-sensitive customer base. It follows the self-service format, obviously, because selling low-cost products at low margin, the retailer cannot give a high level of customer service. The profit margins are obviously low for the retailer in a supermarket, but since they are selling a huge quantity, they are able to earn a profit. The convenience store. As the name suggests, a convenience store offers convenience to the customer. It caters to people at odd hours from easily accessible locations, for example, at a petrol pump, at a train station, or at an airport. These enable the customer to purchase quickly without having to browse through a huge array of products. This means that the assortment at a convenience store is obviously limited. What matters is convenience. Therefore, this retailer of a convenience store will charge a higher price for that convenience. The convenience store will stock basic things but charge high price for the convenience offered. They keep a limited assortment of high turnover goods. So, the assortment is limited, the variety is less, the depth is also less, the price is higher. Let's talk of some examples of a convenience store. I'm sure you've all seen 24/7 or In and Out at petrol pumps. Now we are going to talk about a hypermarket. A hypermarket is actually a huge department store, or it could also be called as a multi-departmental store. It is a superstore which combines a supermarket and a departmental store. So obviously the area of a hypermarket is huge and it keeps a wide assortment of products. It is a large retail facility which carries an enormous range of products, again all under one roof. They carry a larger proportion of food items with emphasis on perishables. At least 35% of the selling space in a hypermarket is devoted to non-grocery products. A hypermarket will sell almost every kind of product that you can think of. Hardware, apparel, sports equipment, furniture, groceries, vegetables, appliances, as well as electronics. Hypercity is a good example of a hypermarket. It is the largest version of retail. It is huge, not only in terms of space, area, but also in terms of the product variety and depth of assortments. It is also huge in terms of the turnover or the volume of goods. Now let's talk of category specialists. These are also called category killers or power retailers. The reason for that? Because they offer huge variety within the product category. They offer a narrow product variety, but a deep assortment within that narrow product category. They usually have a self-service format, but may offer some assistance to the customers in a few product categories like electronics. where a demonstration or a presentation may be required from a salesperson. A category killer or a category specialist are able to buy merchandise at low prices because they are of their buying power. They are buying in huge volumes. Therefore, they have more buying power and can negotiate better prices with their suppliers. For example, the home store, which specializes in one product category, which is home products, or Croma, which specializes in one product category, that is electronics. These are called category specialists or killers because they literally kill the product category. Okay, so if you have a category killer in a mall, you would actually not find another retailer of the same product category around that, because they will not be having a chance. The category killer will be able to offer much lesser prices than the other retailers. Now let's go on to the next characteristic feature, where we are classifying retail formats based on the relative price. Stores sell at a lower price because of lower operational costs due to self-service, no free home delivery, no telephone orders, use of locations that are low on rent, having stores which are on the outskirts of the city. So based on relative price, you could have an extreme value retailer, you can have a full line discount store, you can have a factory outlet or a manufacturer's outlet, and an off-price retailer. Let us talk about each of them in detail. A full line discount store. As the name suggests, it keeps a wide assortment, usually of garments, furnishings, health and beauty related products, and gives huge discounts on all merchandise. They are able to offer goods at lower prices as compared to other departmental stores because either they do not have a returns policy, they do not have offer customer service, or maybe they are located in a low rent area or an out of town area. Walmart is a good example of a full line discount store. Even Big Bazaar would fall under this category. Now you would say, I have been talking of Big Bazaar as a departmental store. I have also been saying it is a full line discount store. What you need to understand is that the same retail store or retailer would fall under different formats. So if we are classifying the product based on product merchandise categories or variety, then also we will be able to classify that retailer under one of those categories. We will also be classifying it under various categories based on pricing or service level. An extreme value retailer is a discount store that has limited product range at very low prices. Their merchandise is wide but very shallow. There is no depth, there is not much variety within each product category. The target customer is usually a low income group customer, somebody who is extremely price sensitive. The manufacturers specially create smaller size packaging for extreme value retailers because their customer base is extremely price sensitive. Now let's talk about an off-price retailer. An off-price retailer, or a closeout store as it is also called, deals in an inconsistent merchandise at very low prices. Now, what do we mean by inconsistent merchandise? It means the merchandise is not planned, or it consists of leftovers, irregulars, off ratios, cancelled orders, seconds goods, goods that are not of the first grade quality. Therefore, they are being sold at a low cost directly from the manufacturer. So, an off-price retailer is usually also the manufacturer who has products left over from his other shipments. A factory outlet, which is also referred to as a manufacturer's outlet. As the name suggests, this is also the manufacturer. It is a special category of off-price retailers. So again, the price is less and the seller or the retailer is a manufacturer also. The manufacturer over here is getting into retailing to sell off all production overruns, which means extra quantities produced during production, any leftovers, any incomplete assortments where the ratio could not be completed, so you had to leave out some extra pieces in some sizes or colors, returns from other retailers that he's shipping to, irregulars, cancelled shipments or odd sizes. The reason the manufacturer starts a factory outlet is so that he is able to sell off these extra pieces at lower prices instead of just throwing them away. Usually, if you've noticed, whenever you go to a factory outlet, you would get some weird colors or some extreme sizes, either in excess or in a double XL or a triple XS, but you would not get the usual nice colors in the regular sizes that you want. That is the reason of having a factory outlet, to sell off all these off ratio pieces. Manufacturers use the space within their building or factory to open a factory outlet, thereby reducing their overheads instead of renting a store to sell these products. These are usually seconds or rejects and are therefore sold at prices which are lower than the MRP of that product. Now let us go on to classifying retail formats by organization or ownership. This means, how is the ownership or the hierarchy of that retail format? That is what we are going to use to classify them. So you could have a corporate chain, you could have a consumer cooperative, you could have a retailer's cooperatives, you could have a franchisee, which is a very, very common format. You could have a voluntary chain of retailers, it could be a conglomerate, and you could also have an independent store. Now let us understand each of these one by one. What is the independent retailer? Very simple, this is our neighborhood grocery store, which we also refer to as the Kirana store or a mom and pop store. Why? Because it is usually small, family run, family owned, run usually by either a husband-wife duo or a father-son duo. So what are the characteristic features of an independent retailer? It usually has only one retail outlet. The owner may not be an expert. He may not know the market. He may not know trends. But he usually understands his customer base, which is usually a loyal customer base, who are coming to him out of convenience because he is probably located somewhere in that neighborhood. The owner is in direct contact with the customer and understands them well. As you can make out, an independent retailer is very flexible because there are no systems or protocols in decision making. He can decide immediately there and then which product he wants to buy, which product he wants to discontinue. Doesn't it make very simple for a consumer to go to an independent retailer? He may even be giving a credit policy to the consumer, because in many cases, the independent retailer knows the consumer on a personal level. Decision making in an independent retail store vests with the owner, who can react quickly to changes in demands and needs of the customer. This results in a very flexible and quick responding marketing mix. There's a flip side also, which is that the business relies only on the skills of one person, which can be very dangerous or risky for the success of the retailer. If that one person is not skilled enough or not aware of the market trends or does not understand his consumer, then he could be making wrong merchandise mix or a wrong merchandise assortment, or maybe selling it at a much lower price. Chain store. I'm sure you've all heard of the term chain store. Examples: Fab India, Westside, Lifestyle, Globus, Spencer's, big bazaars, they are all chain stores. So what does it mean? A chain store is one which has two or more stores that are commonly owned and controlled. They have centralized buying. They have centralized operations. All operations are centralized, which means there is one team which decides all buying sourcing requirements for all the chain stores, for all the various outlets of that retailer. It employs central buying and merchandising. They sell similar merchandise in stores that look similar, in product packages or quality that is standardized, and similar prices. So everything is standardized in a chain store. Think of a McDonald's. Irrespective of which outlet of McDonald's you go to, it is still the same. Any Fab India that you go to, the product category will be the same, the price will be the same. Chain stores usually buy at lower prices, again, because they are buying huge volumes, and the promotion cost is spread all over the retail chain store. So the promotion cost is not being borne by one store, it is being borne by the entire chain of stores. A chain store can negotiate lower prices due to large volumes. They have a broader management base with specialists handling different aspects of the business. So there will be one team doing buying, one team that is into sourcing. You could have a different team for HR, a team for finance. Most of these are centrally controlled.